Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. It is Wednesday night, the night before Thanksgiving. Warriors just got off a tough loss to the Thunder, but I wanted to hop on here anyways. I know a lot of us are going to be celebrating Thanksgiving tomorrow. Probably wouldn't be able to get on here and then record, and you're probably listening to this on Friday, but I figured, you know, I owed you guys an episode because the Warriors gave us a good effort, a good fight, a much better game than I thought this one was going to be, especially after the first quarter when we fell behind pretty big. But they fought, you know, the defense dug in, they fought. I know that Jalen Williams left in this one, and the Thunder were basically a one-man team with SGA, who is, God, man, that guy is good, despite running out of steam and, you know, being a little off in that second half. You see what he is when he's at his best, and man, it is scary. He is as close to unstoppable just because he can score moving forward, score moving backwards, pull up, get left, get right, get fouled. Very crafty. I was trying to take some notes. I'm going to play some pickup basketball on Black Friday with my friends. So I'm just trying to steal a little SGA's style to his game and see what I can rip off of him. But nevertheless, Warriors, they fought in this one, and I liked their efforts. The problem was the same problems that's been basically this whole season. And it was, despite a great defensive effort, just not enough shot creation on the offensive side, especially without Steph Curry. I mean, we all knew, hey, this team does not find easy shots with him off the court. We saw a little bit of that with Pat Spencer. You know, you see where, hey, you can find creation with someone who can just kind of, you know, beat his man and get into the lane, create for others, create for himself. It was a very welcome sign, and it's something that I hope that the Warriors are going to be able to find with Pajemski going forward, who was a little bit better in this one. But ultimately, Warriors 35% from the field this game, and it was the worst of their season. I don't think they had a field goal in the last 6 minutes of the game. Just couldn't find a way to score when it seemed like they were going to steal this one, seemed like they were going to jump back into first place in the West, be the deeper team of two, you know, basically injured, hurt teams, but with good depth and willing to get up and down the floor. And it just wasn't quite enough, again, despite the defense being pretty good in this one. Offense, even if they had Steph, you know, you just don't know what kind of shots you're able to generate outside of Steph Curry pulling up from three. And now you think you're going to find it from someone like an Andrew Wiggins, who has been hot, been one of our best players lately, and it's got off to a great start in this one. You thought Wiggins is going to go off for an easy 20-25 again, but ends up going 4-for-16. And while we're on the subject, it's very clear to me, at least with Wiggins, on his effectiveness is just going to depend completely on his conditioning. It's on how tired he is. It is basically, you know, the offseason training. I know he had a great offseason, and this is a credit to him. And, you know, it's been known that he didn't come into shape last year before the season, didn't have a good year. Came in, you know, the best shape he's been in recent memory since probably 2022 this season, off to a great start. You see how engaged he is. You see when he's fresh. You see when he starts games well. And then he kind of disappears in the third quarter. Sometimes he comes back in the fourth, but he kind of disappears. Had a chance to get the Warriors to overtime in this, and Draymond finds him on a little broken play, I want to say. Gets the hoop with plenty of time, you know, these at least 6-7 seconds on the clock. And he just kind of falls away and throws up an off-balance layup that doesn't even get close with, I mean, I want to say he's acting like he thought there was maybe 1.6 seconds, 1.7 seconds in the game. Not the case. Didn't really get a good look. And the Warriors are going to have to live and die with that shot. And tonight they died because Wiggins didn't go up strong and he just couldn't really find a shot, especially in that fourth quarter. I know he hit that 1-3 towards the end. But aside from that, you know, just wasn't able to get much around Lu Dort. So enough about Andrew Wiggins. You know, we're just kind of going back to shot creation. It's, you see with Pat Spencer, right? Like the burst to the hoop, just getting to the free throw line. It's something that we're going to be asking out of and expecting of Pajemski, who again, shot a little bit better in this one. It was good to see him hit that three and the crowd erupts and he, you know, he's celebrating. The problem is it just hasn't been consistent enough with Pajemski. And if the Warriors are going to be a contending team, I mean, it's really just two options here, and it's Pajemski figuring it out, going back to being that 38.5% 3-point shooter he was last year, shooting it confidently, aggressively, and even give me 37.5%. And now that unlocks a lot of lineups because now he becomes a playable two-way shooting guard, and we know how desperately we need that with Melton out. So again, you know, I see one of the solutions being a Pajemski kind of resurgence and kind of getting back to who he was and been back on that path to, like Joe Lacob says, a potential all-star. He needs to find a way to be better than he was last year, definitely be better than he was has been this year, and just start to use some of the momentum of the last couple games just to really find it. All right. The other issue I have here, I'm just going to throw it out there. I know I'm not... You guys probably want me to be a little harder on Steve Kerr. I've always been a Steve Kerr just kind of supporter and believe in the body of work. And I also believe that he, you know, he knows pregame what he wants his substitution patterns to be. And for the most part, he sticks with it. In this one, oh man, not flexible enough, right? What? Well, Jonathan Kuminga has it going, doesn't come back in until about 5 minutes and 30 seconds left in the game. I know he might have been a little bit sick. He ended up playing 28 minutes, which is fine. But when Kuminga was your best player in that third quarter, to not put, what is he, 22 years old, 23 years old, to not put young legs back in when we were needing a bucket desperately, you know, doesn't get back in until like the 5:30 mark left. Like, I need to see him playing at least the last 7-8 minutes of that game when the Warriors just need a bucket and he's just been the only thing you have. Like, you know, ride him until he tells you, hey, I'm not feeling very well and I need to kind of step back. But that being said, he wasn't great in the last 5:30 either. So that's just something I would like to see it occur. But my real gripe is the fact that Buddy Hield played less minutes than Lindy Waters. Lindy Waters 1-for-7 tonight. Buddy Hield had 17 points and more or less had it going. Didn't really have enough time to get it going towards the end of the game because I think he didn't come in until there was probably like 4.5, 4 minutes left. Buddy Hield needs to be playing, especially in a night where Steph Curry's out. He needs to be playing upwards of 32 minutes because he probably is our best consistent second scorer. So there's no reason not to play him more. Buddy talks about how he's been in great shape. His conditioning's good. Defense didn't seem to be much of a liability. For what it's worth, 7-8 different Warriors had matchups one-on-one against Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and more or less held up in that second half. I know he was a little off, but I thought the defense did its job. After the Thunder, I forget what they put up in the first quarter, but they were well ahead of a 100 pace, but they only end up putting up, what is it, 108 in this one. So Warriors, for what it's worth, again, I know Jalen Williams was out. Thunder were a little bit thin, but to still hold them to what they did in the second half on the defensive side, we deserved a better outcome. We deserved a dub. But I want to get back to Kuminga a little bit because I think what we learned tonight, and this is just kind of the most important topic that we learned tonight, is that Kuminga is the key. If this team, and I know I've said it a bunch, I've kind of gotten away from it a little bit because he hasn't been that impactful. But you see in that spurt in the third quarter how good the Warriors can be when Kuminga's being aggressive, when he's getting his touches. He did a great job keeping the ball moving tonight. Ball never really stuck. Made great decisions on the offensive end, when to shoot, when to attack, when to pass, when to attack and pass, or just when to just kind of keep it moving, just make the easy one and just kind of let the defense fall into rotation until a crack opens. I thought he was fantastic with his decision-making, particularly in the middle of the game in this one. And if that's going to be the case, you have to let him play through his mistakes. You see what this offense can be. I know on the defensive end, yes, he made a bad foul. He had a bad turnover. It still is going to happen. But if I'm Steve Kerr, I'm looking big picture, and I know that the only way this team's going to get you to where you want to get, and that's winning a championship, it has to be through Kuminga, and it has to be through him making that next step. As great as the Warriors have been for the most part, and a surprise in the first, 17, 18 games of the season, the offense is stalling out. When Buddy Hield's not shooting 49% from three, when Draymond's not shooting 45% from three, when the shooting, even Steph Curry's shooting 44%, but in recent years, he's been kind of closer to 41%, right? Like the shooting has almost masked the inefficiency and the good shots that this offense can generate. And as we were regressing to the mean, you know, we're on a three-game losing streak. So My point is that I think the offense needs that shot of life, unless we're making a big trade. And I'm going to talk about just a couple of smaller moves that this team needs. Maybe we'll do it at another time, but I'll get to it a little bit. You know, as we realize what this offense really is at this point with this roster, it has to be from Kuminga. The other options are Wiggins and Buddy Hield. My kind of rule of thumb is those three, Kuminga, Hield, and Wiggins, need to score 50 points for me. You know, average about 17, 18 points a piece. And then when Steph's playing, that offense is enough. The problem is Kuminga hasn't been playing enough. Wiggins has been up and down. Buddy Hield is streaky. So, you know, take from it what you will. I think Kuminga is the one that needs to be unlocked. And then you have the inconsistent Wiggins and Buddy Hield kind of alternating on hot streaks. But how do you get back to this featuring of Jonathan Kuminga? How do you optimize him? Obviously, he has to play at the four, right? He can't be at the three. His shooting isn't good enough. Doesn't work when he doesn't have spacing around him, most importantly. The issue is Draymond Green. All your best lineups involve Draymond Green. And as despite his shooting percentage, he still technically isn't getting me enough spacing. He needs to be at the five. Kuminga needs to be at the four. We all know this. You got to find ways to get Kuminga in at the four when Looney's in, which Kurt did a little bit tonight, when TJD's in, when Kyle Anderson's in. Anytime Draymond's on the bench, that's the time that Kuminga has to be in the lineup, especially if there's not a shot creator. Shot blocker on the other side. You have to get Kuminga in because that's when he's at his best. If you're unable to do this, well, then the Warriors, the only other way to get Draymond and Kuminga on the floor together is if you have, Draymond not to play huge minutes at the five, you have to get a stretch five. I think the Warriors' first and most important move is you got to get a stretch five to this team so Draymond can play minutes at the four, and then you play Kuminga at three and he has enough spacing to work. That's the only way you're going to get the most out of Kuminga. Otherwise, you're just playing the same paradigm of combination of players just based on spacing, and we see what the maximum that this team's going to be is. So I guess my other thought is, so if I'm Steve Kerr, like, do you have to just live with Draymond playing more minutes at center? They went small on this one to start. I think that, you know, you owe it to this team to unlock Kuminga. And if it means Draymond playing more minutes at the center spot, you either need to go get another center. You have to play Kyle Anderson more minutes and let Dre rest and let Anderson play at the five and even at the four more. And if you just can't get Draymond Green enough rest, then you have to manage that on the back end. But until then, you need to find ways to unlock Kuminga because the team's not going to go anywhere far in the playoffs unless that happens. Think about the lineup of the Warriors' best lineup, right? So we're talking Curry, we're talking Wiggins, Draymond, and then Kuminga's in. That lineup is just missing a two-way wing. And now there's enough shooting. You can prioritize a Kuminga Curry pick and roll with JK as the ball handler, Curry setting a screen. Now JK's getting downhill and he's surrounded by shooters. That's a very difficult offense to stop. If you can find a way to get someone like DeAnthony Melton, but I'm talking even better than DeAnthony Melton, right? Someone that can also play make. That team is a true contender. I'm talking like if you can get money aside, defense aside, if you can get like an offensive player like a Zach LaVine to play alongside Curry, Draymond Green, Wiggins, and JK, that team is a contender. The problem is that player doesn't exist as a two-way player. Zach LaVine, Kobe White, anybody who's under a decent enough deal and on a team that's going to be selling, that player doesn't exist. And that's why the Warriors have just been kind of stuck. And so if you don't get shot creation through your shooting guard, now you got to go back to this other idea that I was just talking about with your stretch five. That's why you saw the Warriors were exploring anything possible with Lauri Markkanen and Karl Anthony Towns. They looked into as well. They've been trying to, they know the problem. They know they need to unlock Kuminga. They know that they're stuck without a true stretch five or another ball handler at the two. That's where we get kind of, okay, well, what do we have to offer? It's Pajemski's the best piece outside of that. Well, then Pajemski either needs to be better and become that player, or you have to figure out how to package Pajemski, Moody, and picks to get a Zach LaVine who can play defense under a good contract. And that's the problem here. So until something like that happens, we're not going to declare the Warriors the favorites to win it. But like we saw last night, or sorry, like we saw tonight, the Warriors can compete with some of the best teams and the best players in this league. They just need Steph Curry back, and they just need to keep digging in on defense and find ways to keep shooting out of their minds. Speaking of Steph Curry, well, it sounds like it's not too bad. He's just kind of got some knee tendonitis. Both knees is the problem, but I think they just need to let it calm down for a couple of days. It's, as someone with bad knees, you just sometimes playing every other day or three games in 4 days, your knees are achy and you just need a couple days off or at least 2 days between games. So I think they're just getting Curry a little below here. I don't love that, although Steph has been playing under 30 minutes per game and has already sat for three games earlier in the season with his ankle. You would think he'd be pretty fresh and almost kind of ramping up a little bit, but he's been a little tired looking. He's obviously sat last night or tonight. I don't know. Maybe his knees are just bugging him. And once it kind of subsides, that conditioning will get back to where it is. But, you know, this whole idea of Steph getting old and kind of just seeing what it could look like, I don't like it, guys. I don't like it one bit. So let's get him back. They expect him back on Saturday against the Suns, against Kevin Durant, in a game that I'm looking for the Warriors to win because I believe that this team is playing good enough on the defensive end. And if we can just keep Wiggins, Kuminga, Buddy Hield aggressive, scoring 50 points in addition to Steph, then this team is going to do big things. All right, I'm glad I got it out, guys. I hope you guys enjoy. If I didn't get it out now, it wasn't getting done because I have a busy day tomorrow. I'm going to be drinking a whole bunch of red wine, eating a ton of food, and watching like 9 hours of football. So, had to get it out. Hope you guys have a very happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy it. Eat some great food. Enjoy your day of football. And I will talk to you guys again probably after this weekend. Have a good one. And until then, I'm Chris Chin. Peace, love, and Stacking Dubs.